to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
I'm Kat.
And we are off and running for the week. We will have plenty of D23 talk in the next segment. But for now, Kat, I'm sure you have some news for D23 as well. Let's jump into the news.
I do. Well, I saved all the D23 rumors because we kind of talked about them last week. So I just have some general Disney Parks news.
Okay.
Well, and I do have one rumor that we didn't talk about last week, so, but we'll just start with the news first. So there's a new music, like, thing at in Pandora. It's called Swatuwaya, I think it's how you pronounce it. I'm not familiar with the Na'vi language, obviously. but apparently, guests can go up and, like, bang on the instrument. So it's called... So it's called Swatuwaya, and guests can interact with a collection of instruments fashioned by the Na'vi that are connected into the moon's root system. As guests play with instruments, they connect to a living memory of song that responds to fill the space around them with music and light. So this sounds pretty cool that you get to bang on the instruments. It kind of reminds me of, like, the drums in Africa.
I was actually going to say, so not only drums in Africa in Animal Kingdom, but also the drums in the what do they call the like hydration station or whatever, right in the middle of World Showcase, the not Australia pavilion, if you will. You know what I'm talking about?
Isn't that like the? It's kind of like a African. Pavilion, but kind of
right.
Yeah,
it's not quite an African pavilion. It's not quite an Australian pavilion. It's just a general, like, indigenous
area.
People sort of area. Yeah,
yeah.
This is very cool because this is taking a very classic Disney Parks landmark and put it in the context of Pandora.
Yes. Well, and then it says, you know, some people don't like to hear other guests play music. So they do have those who studied the Na'vi musical culture for a part of their lives to step in and show the guest how it's done throughout the day and night. So,
wow, pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting to hear. I don't know it just says a variety of instruments, but the picture looks like it's like big and small drums.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to go try it out.
Well, this is more of doing with Pandora something that I think Disney needs for pretty much all their parks is you don't just have rides as attractions, but the whole land is an attraction. I mean, this sort of goes right into the environment being bioluminescent, interactive. I mean, this is all more building on. This is not just something you walk through.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, what else do we have?
So the next thing we have is, okay, so this says that it's Disney Parks, but it's kind of not, kind of is. There's a new Princess line of apparel and accessories that is being released to the public. And right now it's only on the DisneyStore.com, but it's for a park event. That's what it says.
Huh.
And it's called, the collection is called Herald of Heroines. So it's like t-shirts and tank tops and bags with designs of princesses. Like, so right now the princess that has been launched is Belle. And it totally looks like old school English. Like, it's Argyle with like traditional family crests, except for their like Belle's crest or Beauty and the Beast crest. And then also, like, I don't know, it's just very cool. There's also the fleur-de-lis on a shirt, which I love the fleur-de-lis. Maybe this is why Belle is my favorite, because she's French. But so each princess has a different release date. So Belle's is out right now. Hers is throughout the month of July. It says Ariel's will be available in August. Cinderella's will be available in September. Snow White will be available in November. And it says there will be two more collections in 2018 that haven't been announced yet. But they're showing like a pattern that is obviously Rapunzel.
Okay.
And then another crest that says La Belle au Bois Dormant, which is Sleeping Beauty in French. So.
All right. Well, so here's one of the interesting things that stands out to me, and I know that the timing of it is really more to promote Beauty and the Beast in its various forms, but it stands out to me that this does seem like the kind of thing, even the name, Herald of Heroines, doesn't that sound like a store name that is either going to go into Disney Springs or Downtown Disney in Disneyland somewhere?
Oh my gosh, it does, and that would be the best thing ever.
I think we talked, you haven't been to Disneyland before, right?
No.
Okay, so their Downtown Disney, obviously because they have such smaller space, is also smaller spaces. So this sort of product line really does lend itself to those size kind of stores, and you're seeing more and more of those pop up, like in the town center in Disney Springs and stuff like that. I would not be surprised if this is where something like that ends up. Also, the reason I brought up the timing with Beauty and the Beast, you know, Disney at Home, the store in Disney Springs, is all home goods, Disney-themed home goods, but it was all Beauty and the Beast last time we were down there. So I don't know if those two things tie into each other or just it is a simple matter of this is what we're pushing right now, because when I was down there it was in theaters and now it's on DVD. It's just they're certainly putting that out front of everything right now.
Yeah, I agree. But and you're right, it's the popular thing right now, or it's the thing that's out. But going back to your maybe this will be a storefront. Maybe they're seeing how this will sell online to decide if it would be worth putting a storefront up for.
Yeah, I agree. This is also the kind of thing that could possibly, even if it's not a storefront, a major storefront, this is the kind of thing that would make a ton of sense, just the products being sold on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah,
like
I
this,
love it.
This absolutely fits the motif of everything going on in those stores.
Yeah, and like definitely anybody can look up these designs. Just look up heraldry of heroines. It totally reminds me of like upscale clothing like you can find on Sunset Boulevard, like where the Dooney and Burke stuff is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
You are smart.
Well, I like to think so. what else do you have?
I'll come back to that one.
Okay.
So the next thing is, do you remember the PhotoPass day last year?
Oh, yeah. Where if you had PhotoPass, there were also all sorts of very unique photo opportunities you could get.
Yeah, so it's coming back again this year, and I'm kind of upset about it. So it's happening Sunday, August 19th, and is that Saturday? Saturday, August 19th,
yeah.
Sorry. The reason I'm upset is because Eric and I will be in Disney World like 3 days later. So
nuts.
Yeah, just disappointing a little bit. this PhotoPass day is going to be, there are going to be more PhotoPass download locations. You can do challenges where it's like kind of like a scavenger hunt with PhotoPass photographers. And you can get a complimentary, PhotoPass download if you don't have Memory Maker or if you haven't purchased Memory Maker, so you get a complimentary PhotoPass download. The scavenger hunt is like at all four parks. And then there will also be special character experiences at Magic Kingdom and Epcot. I think last year you got to, there was Pinocchio, Gideon, and Foul Fellow. But there's going to be like a bunch of different fun ones that you wouldn't usually see as well, like Mushu, Dopey, Queen of Hearts. So characters you don't typically see every day.
Well, very cool. You said August 19th is the date on that one?
Yes.
All right. I don't have anything to add, so what else is happening in the news?
Okay, so this one is confirmed, kind of.
Okay.
Everyone is freaking out because the Tron Light Cycle Power Run it says that it has been confirmed to replace Tomorrowland, or the Tomorrowland Speedway in Magic Kingdom. But as I was reading the article, I was like, this is not confirmed at all.
Okay, yes, I had the same thought of if it was confirmed, there would be some name in that article saying, yes, we're doing this.
Yes, and the article that I read, it says, we feel fairly confident about calling this announcement confirmed since several unrelated sources within the Disney, Walt Disney Company are now providing this information. So, I guess, and this is from WDW News Today, so they're usually pretty accurate with their information, but still...
They
considered a rumor until
Friday. They have, in the last, I would say, year to year and a half, they have been pretty accurate, but pretty accurate pretty early. So, like the Great Movie Ride becoming the Great Mickey Ride. Didn't they have that like 2 years ago, I think?
Yes.
So,
yes.
This could be one of those things where we're all talking about it, and they are talking about it at WDW News Today as confirmed, and nothing will be said about it at D23. I think that is very possible.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, like, with D23 being every other year, there is one more D23 before the 50th anniversary.
Right. You're absolutely right. So, I read somewhere else that construction is going to start taking place in 2018, so it can open for the 50th, but, you know...
Wow, it's going to be really interesting to see. You know what? I guess maybe I'm still thinking about it in terms of what reportedly the dream scenario was that it was a huge track that spans from over the top of Tomorrowland, spanning from the Speedway over to where Carousel of Progress is.
Yeah.
But maybe it doesn't look like that anymore. But what I was going to say is, if that is the case, it's going to be very interesting to see how they make Tomorrowland flow with that kind of construction project going on.
That's very true, because Tomorrowland already doesn't really have a good pathway, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's just hard getting from, like, Space Mountain to Fantasyland, because I feel like there's, like, a bunch of different ways you can cut, but
sure.
Also can't.
Sure. And then, I see what you're saying. In terms of inside of Tomorrowland, everything is sort of flung to the far corners.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when you said that at first, I was thinking, what are you talking about? It's like a perfect flow from the hub over to Fantasyland. But yeah, we're thinking of two different things here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right. What else do we have?
Okay. So now we have our rumor for this week. People are expecting this to be named or to be announced on Saturday as well during the theme park panel. But apparently they are going to use... Wait, did we talk about this? Now I'm like, wait a second. Well, if we did, oh well, sorry guys. they are thinking about using Zootopia or announcing a Zootopia Land at Rafiki's Planet Watch. Did we talk about this?
I think we did. I can.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry guys.
No problem. I can give you one that I heard today. And this is not so much a rumor. This is just sort of a report. I was reading a column by Jim Hill where he said that he expects the three things that he is most confident are going to be announced on Saturday. Are the gondolas, Guardians of the Galaxy going into Ellen's Energy Adventure, and what would you guess is the third one? If he says that he is very confident this one will be announced on Saturday.
Ratatouille.
You got it. That one surprised me.
Really? I just feel like that's the one that we've talked about as much as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's true, because it has been a long time building, and I think also... There is something else going on with Ratatouille in that it's not just bringing the attraction over, it is also bringing the trackless ride system over for the first time.
Right.
So I think there might be a bigger thing going on there. By the way, did you hear the news that they are telling members of the media they are not allowed to stream, to web stream the theme parks panel, the animation panel, or the Marvel panel, maybe?
I did not.
Yeah, so remember, like last time in 2015, there was not an official web stream, but it was easy to find one if you were looking for one.
That
is apparently not going to be the case this time, because apparently the subsite Oh My Disney is kind of controlling, or I guess is kind of being put out front as this is, like, they have the access to streaming, and guess which three panels they are not streaming?
You're kidding me.
100% true.
No!
So,
because I was going to say, I love Oh My Disney, but right now I'm not a fan of them.
I mean, they are streaming their panel, they are streaming some of the stuff with, like, animators. Like, they're streaming some stuff that is, like, what I guess you would call neat or fun, but they're not streaming the big stuff that we all want to see.
I can't believe that. So how are we going to get our information? Live tweets, I guess?
I'm guessing live tweet, and then I'm wondering if they will be allowed to put up videos after the panels are over.
Oh, that would make sense.
Maybe. I don't know for sure. But if they would allow that, if they are going to allow them to do that, I don't understand what the reason would be that you wouldn't just let them live stream.
That's true. Well, maybe we just don't know it, but Disney will be live streaming it, like some other Disney affiliate, like whether it be Walt Disney World Parks.
I hope so. I hope that's the case. I'm not going to hold my breath because I think that's the kind of thing they would have announced long ago.
I know, but still, that's annoying.
Yeah, but
what the heck?
It was Anne and I are going to be together this weekend. It was one of the things I was hoping we were going to get to do. But yeah, it looks like there will be no live stream, at least as far as we know right now, no live stream of the Parks panel at
D23. That is so annoying.
Yeah, I literally saw that on Twitter as we were as I was dialing you up tonight.
I still bet that I will be getting notifications of people posting on our travel agent's website of, like, updates, because I bet, like, WDW News Today or, like, other ones already have, like, articles ready.
Right.
That they're just going to press, it's just going to be, like, a press enter and it will come up as soon as it's announced.
It is, that's interesting. So I saw it from Mouse Planet. So I have already dinged to have Mouse Planet's tweets come to me as text that day.
You can do that.
Yeah, I will I'll have to talk you through it when we are done recording,
okay.
Because it takes me a second to figure out how to do it. But everybody listening right now is probably getting upset that I didn't call it exactly the right thing. But yeah, you can do that.
I rarely use Twitter, but if it's like that, then I might have to re-download it on my phone.
Yeah, I only learned how to do that because my daughter's school tweets out when the school buses have left.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty great. All right, so we haven't done a little bit we call Blue Sky Dreaming in a while, and we figure it would be fun to do that in the context of D23. So we're going to do that next. We asked you guys to contribute a little bit on the Two Men and a Mouse and WDPN Facebook page. We will get into that next. Thanks for listening to the Extra Magic Hour.
Hey everyone, it's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's KATARINA @magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
This is Blue Sky Dreaming, amateur imagineering without real-world interference.
All right, we haven't done Blue Sky Dreaming in a while, so Kat and I decided we are going to Blue Sky Dream D23. For people not familiar with the term, the Blue Sky Dreaming phase is the phase of Imagineering where literally you can suggest anything for an attraction. If you want to literally defy gravity, the Blue Sky Dreaming phase is where you throw it out there and see if someone can come up with an idea to make it happen. So before we do that, before we throw out what, like, dream sort of scenarios we would love to see announced at D23, we'd go through some of the ones you guys put up. We didn't ask you guys to do Blue Sky Dreaming. We asked you specifically what kind of things you hope to see announced. Kat, do you still have your list of some of the things you're hoping to see announced or confirmed?
No.
Okay, no worries. So here's some of the things that
I deleted it.
Here's some of the things you guys answered. Thad Paget said a fifth gate. It will never happen, but I'd love to hear it announced. I don't think it will never happen, but I think we're further away from actually getting it than not.
Yes.
Kevin Kessler says he wants to see the Star Wars Resort confirmed. I think he's going to be very happy. Let's see. Craig Groff Folsom says a resolution to the Marvel Master licensing agreement. Too much to ask, maybe, but that's what I want. I think there is a resolution to the Marvel Master licensing agreement. It's just not the one you want, Kevin. I don't, right? Like, hasn't Disney pretty firmly said they're not going to pursue getting that away from Universal?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. He also says, also something new for Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, new cards, maybe. Yeah, that makes sense. It seems like it's time to update that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Rodriguez Pinto says, I'd like to see something more for Rapunzel. Oh, and more movies starring Dwayne Johnson. Ryan Campbell addressed the rumors about Fire Mountain in Adventureland and the Tron Coaster replacing the Speedway in Tomorrowland. As I said earlier, I think that is something you will see announced. Both of those are something you will see announced if they are happening at the next D23. Let's see. I'm going to skip that one and come back to it. Annie Ransom says, I want to finally get a resolution on those dang gondola rumors. Well, Annie, good news. They have already started laying the concrete in the ground, so there is your resolution to that. Matt Unger, if there are any other plans for Animal Kingdom, or are they done? I think I heard rumors of a Zootopia or South America and plans for Epcot. Hopefully they stick to the Epcot theme and don't go too movie-based. We'll get to that in just a second, but as we already said last week, we did talk about there are rumors that Zootopia is coming to Rafiki's Planet Watch. South America makes a lot of sense. Like, they do need to do something to expand on the overall theme of Animal Kingdom, right?
Yes, I think so. Because right now it's only the western side of the world. Wait, eastern side of the world. Sorry, we're in the west.
Right.
So it would be interesting to have something below. Like, and there are rainforests in Africa. There are in Africa.
In South America. Well, I mean, yeah, that's a whole different set of rainforest animals, right? I mean, that's where you bring in your jaguars and stuff like that. The other thing, too, they sort of had a North America, like a North America by default with Camp Minnie Mickey, because so much of that was based around, like, camping. But I was thinking about this while my family was up in Canada, like a land full of, like, grizzly bears and wolves and stuff like that. I mean, that would be, it would be very different from the rest of Animal Kingdom, but it would still fit the bill, I think.
Yeah, it would. It wouldn't be as exotic, but it would still be animals.
Right.
So
let's see. A young lady named Katarina Dupre says, any of the excited rumors to be true, rides at Epcot, Fire Mountain, new pavilions at Epcot, and then Michael says a revival of Epcot. Yeah, I think we're going to hear at least something about Epcot, right? Like there's no way, given that we just got new Fantasyland, we know what's happening with Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land, and we just got Pandora. There's no way Epcot's not the next park to get the big announcement.
Absolutely no way.
Jamie Dorito, this is the last one, or maybe it's Jaime Dorito, says, Iger to step down, Disney goes private in an effort to bring the company back to its roots as a creative enterprise focused on delivering magic to consumers rather than profits to shareholders. Hey, a guy can dream. And Jaime, keep on dreaming, but as somebody that just got let go from a company that was private in a industry full of shareholder-based businesses, that would have the exact opposite effect that you are hoping for.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that would be really cool, but that is definitely the definition of blue sky dreaming.
Right. I think that, I don't even know if the living members of the Disney family even have the money anymore to even keep the parks open beyond a year or two.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I wonder what the status of the Disney family fortune is when you spread it out amongst all of Roy and Walt's heirs.
I don't know. That's a very interesting question, because I Googled this a couple weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago. I think it might have been actually when we were driving down to Disney last trip in March. I was like, are there any Disneys alive? Like somebody with the actual name Disney? And there isn't that, like, anybody know, like from Walt or Roy, there's no Disney alive.
Did Roy not have, or did Roy E. Disney not have a son? I thought he did.
He did, Roy O., but he died. And I think
Roy
he
o.
only had
okay.
died. Yeah.
Roy O. was the younger one. Gotcha.
Yes.
So Roy O. didn't have a son?
I don't think so.
Crazy. Yeah, I knew Walt had two daughters, and even his older daughter, right, was the last one to pass away, Diane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Maybe Roy O. Who's Roy E.? Is Roy E. the...
See, I thought... Oh. Oh, no.
Roy E.
Roy E. was Walt's brother, right?
No. Roy O. was Walt's brother. Roy E. was Roy O.'s son. So, that's a lot. Let's see. Did he have... children. Four. Okay, that doesn't tell me anything. It said, including Abigail Disney. Okay, let's see. That doesn't say anything. Okay, I don't know. But I read somewhere that there were no Disneys left. I mean, from the Disney. I mean, there might be somebody out there whose name is Disney, but not.
Do you remember one of the original... spam emails to go around the internet was that Walt Disney Jr. wanted to give away free trips to Disney World.
Really?
Yes. I cannot remember what they were fishing for, but that was one of the, like, very similar to the Nigerian Prince, one of the very first scam emails going around.
That Walt Disney Jr. wanted... That seems like a great email. Because so many people would fall for it.
Yeah.
Because you would think that if Walt had a son, he would have named him after himself. Why not?
Do you know why, even though Roy O. had a Roy E., do you know why why he didn't just go with Roy O. Disney Jr.?
No.
There was a tradition in the Disney family that all of the men's middle names was based off of the mother's first name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or all of the firstborn men's middle names were based off of the mother's first name.
Huh. So, wait, but I thought the E for Roy, or for Roy E, was for Elias. Was it not?
I think it was, but I think, wasn't,
No, it was Edward.
It was?
Yeah.
I guess I always just assumed because it was Walter Elias Disney, I assumed it was Roy Elias Disney as well.
I guess, you know what they say about assuming.
There are people listening to this right now that know it backwards and forwards. This conversation is driving insane.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, because I've been on that end. And it drives me insane. So sorry, I apologize.
All right, let's do some blue sky dreaming. Anything we want to see announced at D23? We'll go back and forth. Kat, why don't you get us started?
Okay, so obviously the Epcot overhaul. We know it's going to be announced, but I would still love to see the new countries announced, especially what you said last week. I have been thinking about this all week, about the Spain and having that new character interaction with the giant. I think that would be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And even if they didn't do it with, like, Spain, if they did it with any other... I don't know, like, larger-than-life character or even a character that would be hard to do, like, an actual meet-and-greet with. I think it'd be, like, awesome. And then, once again, one of the things that is probably going to be confirmed is rides in France, because I was thinking about this today, too. All Epcot is just movies.
Right.
Pretty much. Or I should say all world showcases is just movies. So I think it'd be really cool to have, rides in a bunch of different countries just to, like, disperse everybody and to make it more interesting. Cause, like, even with a Ratatouille ride, you can totally make it authentic to Paris. So
right, and I think that is one of the things, if I remember right, that's one of the things that won such high praise for the version at the Walt Disney Studios in Paris is the challenge of getting people to be excited about this fake version of Paris when the real version of Paris is a short train ride away, and they were still able to pull it off.
Yeah.
So that is something that has been one of the selling points of the original Ratatouille ride. Certainly hope they bring that here.
Yeah. Right. And then, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, any other new country would be cool. I think it would be cool. I know everybody says like Brazil. Wait, do they have a South American country in World Showcase?
They do not.
They just have Mexico.
They just have Mexico.
Okay, so Brazil would be really cool, or any other South American country, or like an African country, because like right now, World Showcase is Europe and Asia with America right in the middle. So I think it'd be cool to have other continents, kind of like Animal Kingdom.
I was reading a blog post today where someone was talking about that Brazil looks like... So it apparently turns out we were both right, that there were rumors about both Brazil and Spain out there.
Yep.
And this blog post I was reading was saying that because Gigantic got pushed back, it seems like Brazil is more likely to happen first. But Disney is in this odd space right now where, you know, they want someone else or the government of that country to pay for it. Brazil is in an insane recession at the moment. They could be staring at a similar situation that they had with Norway, where Disney has their version, but if a group of businessmen from Brazil come in, you know, Disney had this Trolls ride ready to go immediately for Norway, and it was this group of Norwegian businessmen that said, no, we want oil derricks and a fishing village and stuff like that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what version of Brazil comes out, depending on where they get some funding from.
Yeah.
All right, so I sort of bounced all over the company here. So I actually started with TV. We've got the DuckTales reboot that it's either on right now or it's coming out really soon. I can't remember which it is.
It's coming out really soon. I think it's like this month.
Okay, because the shorts are out right now on Disney XD. And I'm not going to lie, as someone that was, let's see, how old was I? I was 8 years old at the height of DuckTales fever. I find it very exciting.
That makes me excited.
What the hell is going on over there, Kat?
I'm sorry. I'm, like, moving around. I'm very uncomfortable right now.
All right. So, with the DuckTales reboot on the way, this is a plea from Dimitri Ivannis to Bob Iger. I would love, Mr. Iger, a Tailspin reboot. Because you can take your DuckTales and shove it. I was a Tailspin kid through and through. And look, we had the live-action Jungle Book last year. I'm just saying a live-action Tailspin is a natural follow-up.
Huh.
It doesn't really have to be live-action. But if we're rebooting DuckTales, I would love to see a reboot of Tailspin.
I remember watching these shows, but I don't remember anything about them. Besides, because I remember Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and the guy in the Hawaiian shirt. And I remember DuckTales. I loved the movie. And I remember Tailspin, but I don't remember a lot about Tailspin besides the Jungle Book.
The guy in the Hawaiian shirt in Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers was Dale. He was a Magnum P.I. sort of character.
Okay, then who was the fat chipmunk?
He wasn't a chipmunk. He was a mouse. His name was Monterey Jack. And in addition to being a fat mouse, he was also their aviator.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of a running theme of all the Disney afternoon cartoons, is they all had a pilot for some reason.
I was gonna say, wasn't that Tailspin? See, now I'm getting all my things mixed up.
Well, Tailspin, they were all pilots, and then there was Launchpad McQuack in both DuckTales and Darkwing Duck.
And I do remember in the DuckTales movie, which, by the way, I think is one of the greatest movies, the one with the genie, whatever it's called.
Yes.
I remember the pilot was kind of stupid in that one.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah, okay. Launchpad McQuack. He was a moron.
Okay.
All right, what else do you have?
Okay, so I'm really sorry. I feel like I'm stealing this from a lot of people, but that's okay. I would love a new immersive resort. It doesn't have to be Star Wars, although that would be pretty cool from what we talked about it. But I think something that would be both pleasing to kids and adults, because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, like, I want to join in on the fun, but I don't want to look like an idiot.
Right. That is, you know where they do actually a really good job of that? And I think the reason they do a good job of it is because it's not as immersive as some of the other resorts, is Riverside.
Oh, that makes me excited because that's where we're going.
Okay, yeah, they do a really good job of including everybody in the movie night kind of stuff and the festivities around it. Anyway, I'm always impressed with it whenever we walk past it because we've stayed there a decent number of times in the last few years.
Yeah. And I know we kind of talked about this before, but if I had like my dream, it would be like an all princess themed resort, and
right.
I would love to just like be immersed in a castle or something. Cause
are you guys staying in Tiana's rooms at Riverside?
No, we're not.
They are fun to do one time, and then you've done them.
Okay. No, we have a garden view room. That's all that we could get because we got free dining with it. So I guess that was what was available. So yeah, but that'd be cool.
All
Maybe
right.
I can like tour one.
Yeah, see if you can make it happen because the headboards in the bed are just
they light up, don't they?
They do. They put on a little fireworks show for you.
That'd be so cool to see.
All right, so my next one, I'm going to ask everybody to brace themselves. Again, this is Blue Sky Dreaming, and I will explain myself why, but I would love to see them announce the end of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Not because I'm not entertained by it, but because I feel like we're getting to this point of diminishing returns, and also, excuse me, I don't know where you go after you tell the Infinity War story and still get people excited. So announce that it's coming to an end and show us everything you have wanted to and are capable of doing in that last movie.
I get where you're coming from, because, well, just think about it. Robert Downey Jr. is an old man. He's a great actor. He is, but he has even said that he feels like he wants to be done with the movies.
Right.
So I completely get what you're saying, and part of me thinks that's why they keep announcing. excuse me. They keep announcing like these different movies that, like Black Panther. Like I didn't see that coming well until I saw Civil War. Was that it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like I don't know all these. To me, obscure superheroes, because, like, I wasn't into comics or anything. I just knew, you know, your basic Avengers. So, I completely see where you're coming from, and I agree, because you can only have so many Iron Man, Captain America.
Well, I mean, here's, like, you sort of hit on something that I think is going to become a problem for them. You have guys in the actors in the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now, like, Chris Evans, who is Captain America, whichever Hemsworth brother is Thor. Chris, right?
Yes.
So Chris Hemsworth is Thor. You have, I think Bradley Cooper falls into this because he's a voice actor as Rocket. You have Dave Bautista as Drax. Those guys will be happy to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe forever because I don't know where they go from here. But then you have guys like Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther, Robert Downey Jr., who's Iron Man, obviously, Mark Ruffalo, who's the Hulk. These guys are really good, really in-demand actors. At some point, they're going to get bored with this. Or at some point, they're going to miss out on a project they really want to do because of their commitments to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then they're going to resent being a part of it the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. Because Mark Ruffalo was in that really good movie Spotlight.
Right.
And so, like, just think if Avengers had been filming at the same time, he wouldn't have been able to be part of that.
There was a period of time where Chadwick Boseman was the, like, go-to guy to play any major figure from Black history, from Black, I guess, pop culture history. Because he was James Brown. He was Jackie Robinson. You know, he's a dude that's pretty in demand. I was surprised that he he was going to be Black Panther. And yeah. also, like, so this really stood out to me with Doctor Strange. I'm a little bit more on board for Black Panther because he happens to be my son's favorite hero from Civil War. And also they used one of my favorite songs in the trailer for Black Panther. But with Doctor Strange, I didn't know anything about that character going in. I was willing to give it a chance based on the overall strength of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I walked out really hating it. And not because... And then I watched it a second time and I realized it's not that this isn't a good movie. It's just not as good as the other movies. It's like they're starting to repeat themselves a little bit here.
And so I'm not
even saying I want to see an end to the Marvel Cinematic Universe because I'm done with it. I want to see them announce the end because I want to see them announce that thing we've all been building up to. I'm ready to at least see where, light at the end of the tunnel is the wrong word. I'm ready to at least be able to spot the finish line from here.
Yes, I can agree with that.
All right, what do you have next?
Okay, this is my lame one. And it kind of coincides with the princess-themed resort. So there was a time when Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique also did adults.
Yes, I
so
remember.
So I would love for that to happen again. And I put in my comments next to it, LOL.
Okay, I don't know if there was one specific incident that had them phase out adults, but I do know that one of the things that I heard... from a cast member friend is the adults, while they would get very into the fantasy of it all, they were also pretty, not all of them, but there were at least enough of them that were pretty abusive to the artists that they just didn't want to do it that way anymore.
Oh my gosh, that is awful. Okay, and I'll tell you the number one reason I want Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reopened to adults. I want an adult princess dress. Like, you can't find anyone except for, like, the sexy Cinderella. Like, no, I don't need that. I just want to be able to dress like a princess. Either at Disney or at my house. Whichever is fine.
I'm not sure. Do you realize you sound crazy when you're saying this?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. All right, well, at least realizing it is half the battle.
That's what I say about a lot of my faults. I say, well, I know they're there, so it's not like I'm in denial. So that makes me a better person, right?
I think now, don't they at least do adults at the... don't they do adults at the Pirates League?
Don't quote me on this because I should know it, but I think they do, or at least... They'll, like, give them, like, a bandana or something.
I think that in addition to... I seem to recall, and I could be way off on this, I seem to recall that in addition to doing pirate get-up, they will also at least do mermaid makeup for adults at Pirates League.
Okay.
I think. I could be way off on that. Oh, well, someone go to Pirates League and be disappointed to find out if I'm right or wrong. All right, the next one, I think you are going to like this a lot. At the very least, your mom is going to like this a lot. Pixar Figment movie.
I think this would be... I feel like somebody said this could happen. Did we talk about this last week?
What we talked about last week was Figment maybe becoming the movie at Imagination Pavilion and Inside Out moving into the ride. But I'm talking about a 90-minute to 2-hour story of Figment and Dreamfinder done by the fine folks at Pixar.
I think that would be an interesting show or movie. I think I would watch it.
I think it's the only way to do it because I have been for years just listening to stories and talk about the park, trying to figure out, well, how could they bring Dreamfinder's story to the big screen in a way that reinvigorates the character, or at least gets enough interest in the character that they save the classic version of the ride? But I don't think there's any way to do it live action. I think it has to be a Pixar movie.
Yeah, especially because a lot of times, well, I guess it wouldn't be as cheesy because you have all this awesome CGI, but a lot of times I feel like you wouldn't even be able to make Figment a CGI character. He would have to be super cartoonish.
Right, I agree.
If you had, like, I'm just thinking, like, the original Peach Dragon, where it was real people with such a cartoon such a cartoon dragon. It just wouldn't work nowadays.
Yeah,
but you also can't have a hyper-realistic Figment, because that would be freaking weird.
Exactly. Like, you cannot do the live-action Jungle Book version of Figment. Like, you cannot do what they did with Baloo to Figment.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, what is your last one?
Okay, so there is a panel with Alan Menken, which I hope that's one of the things that Oh My Disney is going to live stream. So I would love there to be a new movie out with Alan Menken behind the music. I think the last one he did was Rapunzel.
Yes, I think that's right.
If I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I just grew up with his music because he did the music for pretty much every single 90s movie.
Right.
Or every other year 90s movie, I should say. Or new Broadway shows coming out. I heard... there was a rumor on showbill.com, which is like a Broadway website, that Hercules is in development.
Yes, I saw that.
And so I think that would be really cool because Go the Distance is my favorite Disney song ever.
Really?
So I think, yes. Well, at least to play.
Sure.
On piano.
Oh, I didn't know you played piano.
Yes. Since I was 9 years old. I'm really bad, so, like, don't... I don't tell anybody at church because then they would, like... wrote me into play. I can only play songs that, like, I've been practicing for, like, a year, basically.
Right.
But it's one of my favorite songs to play on piano. I just think it's really, really pretty. It makes me cry, or it made me cry every time it came on Wishes. I don't know why. And then when I saw the live stream of Happily Ever After, and it played, well, the beginning part, it made me cry. But then they had that crappy, not crappy, I shouldn't say that, that's mean. But they had the cover... And I was like, no, I need the original version.
What was the cover? Was the cover...
was the main guy from the Happily Ever After soundtrack.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. No, the Michael Bolton version is fine.
Right,
I still
that's
prefer
what it
the
was.
Movie version, but it like the guy from the Happily Ever After soundtrack started singing, and I was like, no, but... Okay.
I would not have guessed Go the Distance was your favorite and that's not because of you. I would not have guessed that was anybody's favorite Disney song.
I just think it's beautiful.
I mean, it's not a bad song. It's just it's from such a such an easily forgotten movie.
Yeah. So this is a show that's already been like done. It's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right.
It was done, not Broadway, but like an off-Broadway production. I would love to see it on Broadway. I just think it would be amazing.
There was the version at Hollywood Studios with the like insanely bad Quasimodo costume.
Never saw it.
Yeah, we only saw it one time. I think it was only out the year that the movie came out.
I saw a version of this. Well, I saw not Broadway cast, original cast, I should call it. Somebody taped it at one of the performances. And the way they did Quasimodo was very interesting. He had like a sand bag on his back
mm-hmm.
that he wrapped his costume around. And then like for his face deformed, he just like painted, I don't know, it was like brown paint on his face to make it look deformed. It was very interesting, but I think it would be awesome to see on Broadway. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what. So we know, right? It's pretty much confirmed that in the fall we're getting Frozen the musical, right?
Yes.
So where do they go? Like, what's next? Because it makes sense. Hercules is not what I would have expected, but also I would never have expected them to make Newsies into a musical.
Newsies was originally a musical, though.
Was it?
The original movie.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. The movie was a musical. I'm saying I would not have expected them to bring that back.
Oh yeah, since it was like. A bad movie.
Oh, if Anne were here, she would jump through the computer and fight you.
I know. My husband and his brothers love the movie too. I love the musical. I mean, I've seen it twice in theaters, and it's coming back again in August. And me and my friend who saw it are gonna go see it again.
Wow.
Like, I know. See, I'm crazy, or I love the music just as much. I don't know. The movie, though, to me, it's just so. Cheesy and dancing is so bad.
You don't have to justify it to me. I don't like the movie at all, but I'm just telling
you. Christian Bale can't sing. I'm sorry. He was not that good.
Did he have a singing part in Pocahontas or no? He didn't, right?
Thomas didn't sing, but he might have like sang in the chorus of Savages.
Right.
So I don't know.
Just because you put yours out there, my favorite Disney song of all time is for so long it was Prince Ali, but
okay,
I don't know. Down in New Orleans has grown on me over the last few years.
You know, when Princess and the Frog first came out, I like just could not get into it, and then all of a sudden, in one time in college, I watched it again. And I was like, what was I thinking? Like, this is great.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I think top to bottom, it is the best soundtrack. But that's, you know, Anne and I grew up on the Gulf Coast. So, like, that music is ubiquitous down there. But I still say it's pretty strong. It's a pretty strong soundtrack.
I think I just didn't like the Princess and the Frog fairy tale.
Right.
So I was just like, I'm not interested in this. But then, like, when I like listened to the music again, I was like, I was crazy. What was I thinking?
I will say, if you put a Mama Odie like character in something from the second Golden Age, say you put that kind of character in, I don't know, shoehorn her into Beauty and the Beast, she is plush that every girl your age owns.
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean that if she were in a more popular movie, we think about her the same way we think about, like, Abu from... she is that very... the most minor of sidekicks that we have such a strong emotional connection to.
No, I can agree with that.
All right, last one for me, and this is absolutely Blue Sky Dreaming. Kat, when it comes out of my mouth, this will not surprise you at all. I would like a total makeover for Peter Pan's Flight.
Yep, not surprised.
Good riddance. You can bring in, you could even, if you want to, everybody that's my mother's age that feels such a strong connection to that ride, offer up opportunities for them to bid to come in with the sledgehammer and knock that turd apart. I am not opposed to having Peter Pan in the parks. I understand why it's there, but that Peter Pan we deserve better than.
Yeah, I think it definitely, it needs something besides black light.
Yes. Yes, I should not be able to see better technology at my state fair in any Disney ride.
No, I completely agree. Just bring over Shanghai. It won't be that expensive. Just bring, like, you already have the technology
right at
your hands. Just do it.
All right. So I tell you what, we'll put a pin in it there. Next week, we might bring back our pal David Mumpower to talk about everything that was announced during D23. But obviously, we are all sitting on pins and needles, waiting to hear exactly what happens. Thanks for Blue Sky Dreaming with us.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
The Extra Magic Hour is just about over. But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, we've taken up too much of your time already, so see you later, everybody.
Bye!